The Fan on Demand.
A very good evening. I'm Nigel Reed.
And I'm Bob Yarushi.
And this is The Soccer Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan and Sportsnet World. This week, cruising in the Caribbean, we're in St. Lucia to talk to Josh Simpson on the eve of Canada's latest World Cup qualifier. Also tonight, year one playoffs. No, we're not in Toronto or Vancouver. We're in Alberta to chat to FC Edmonton's young prospect, Sean Seiko. Plus, should Major League Soccer's top team have an easier path to the MLS Cup? Is there any real reward for winning the regular season? All that and more, plus your opinion, this week, right here on The Soccer Show. Do you know what I'm going to do one day?
I have no idea.
Yeah, you do. Go on, have a wild
learn
guess.
Learn how to play golf?
Yeah, true. I'm going to need some lessons. One day when I've got enough money and nothing better to do with my time, and that might be a while, because isn't it the way with your loved one, your wife or your partner, who always ends up and finds little jobs for the man of the house to do? One day she'll run out of little things for me to do. And so one day when I've got enough money and enough time on my hands, I'm going to get on a plane. And this is going to mean nothing to you, and this is going to leave you absolutely cold, I know, especially with the hockey season getting underway. But I'm going to get on a plane, and I'm going to take myself off to the Caribbean in the winter, and I'm going to watch the England cricket team tour the Caribbean in places like Barbados and Jamaica and St. Lucia. It's just something that a friend of mine has done, and he says, you know, you just sit on these grassy knolls, and it's just very laid back, as you can imagine. And you sit there and watch cricket for 6 or 7 hours and soak up the rays and have a red stripe along the way.
Very nice.
It is very nice. And so that is what I'm going to do when I've got enough money and plenty of time on my hands. Which is apropos nothing, except to say that one of the prettiest Caribbean islands, I'm told, and I haven't been there, is St. Lucia. And in St. Lucia, in a little bowl surrounded by the volcanic rock, there is this beautiful plateau. Mm-hmm. In a little town called Beausejour. And in Beausejour, there is a test match cricket ground. And it was one of the venues for the Cricket World Cup a couple of years ago. But tomorrow, being Friday, they're going to turn it from a cricket stadium, a cricket oval, if you like, into a soccer ground.
Wow.
And St. Lucia, 184 in the world, by the way, I think, or thereabouts, are going to play Canada in a World Cup qualifier on a cricket ground. And I guess the grassy knoll's still there, and you can probably sit around and have a beer and enjoy the game. And it's going to be a lovely setting. It's going to be very warm. They're playing it in the evening, of course, which probably helps. And there's part of me which wishes I probably wasn't here and was probably there as part of the media entourage. But unfortunately, nobody was prepared to pay my flights, and so I'm here. But later in the show, we will be there. In St. Lucia, in Beausejour, because we're going to talk to Josh Simpson, who has made quite a name for himself. And you'll remember when St. Lucia came here, what, about a month ago, that he scored a couple of goals against
them. He did, yes.
So he will no doubt be in the mood, I'm thinking.
Yeah, Josh Simpson is one of the most important players on the national team. He's very creative. He's quick. He's out on the wing a lot and goes by people. He's exciting to watch. And, you know, I look forward to seeing him improve game in and game out.
Now, what about these games? Because they've played St. Lucia at home. Other than that freak shot which went in, which the goalie didn't see, the chances came along. And in the final analysis, the opening game against St. Lucia was a comfortable 4-1 win. Then they went to Puerto Rico the following week and said, people were saying, well, Puerto Rico away might be a tough game. But they went there and they won that 3-0. So they're 2-for-2. You know, they continue in this vein, then, as we expect, Canada will progress to round 3 of CONCACAF qualifying for the World Cup. But just give us a player's perspective here, because when you know you're in that situation, you know you're better than the team you're going to beat, team for team and man for man, you're kind of on a hiding to nothing here, aren't you? And I guess the worst enemy is it's the old cliche, but underestimating your opponent.
Always.
Does it actually happen in professional teams? I guess it does sometimes.
Of course it does.
Because we get upsets.
Yes, of course it happens. I don't think Canada should have any problems with St. Lucia tomorrow, but it does happen. I remember going to Bermuda and absolutely...
Beautiful place,
with Canada and absolutely, you know, overwhelming them for 88 minutes and up 1-0, couldn't get the second goal, and a freak situation, you know, caused Bermuda to tie the game, and we ended up leaving the field with our heads hanging
bowed
low. Yeah, it happens. You know, it can happen, and you need to be focused. You can't take any team that puts on their national colors for granted. Never.
So looking back at that fateful day in Bermuda, beautiful place, by the way. Go there if you get the chance. I did last December. I was very lucky. Not a particularly soccer-minded nation any more than St. Lucia is. But, I mean, I don't know how many years ago this was now. It's a few, I guess. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so you finish the game, you shake hands, you feel like, well, words we can't mention on this show. And then I guess the media has its say, which just to rub it in. But looking back from a player's perspective, I mean, there are games, I guess, like that from time to time where you're all over your opposition like a rash. You've got the go-ahead goal, and you just can't kill them off. I mean, that's just bad day at the office, or is there something you can actually say, look, come on, we just didn't rise to the occasion. We just took it a little bit too lightly. We just took our foot off the pedal.
Oh, that's exactly what it is. And, most of the time, quality will win over in the end. And, it doesn't matter how much the other team might play bunker soccer and bring everybody back and cover behind cover. Sooner or later, the quality that you have versus your lesser opponent should win out in the end. But there are games where, call it fate, call it, bad luck, call it whatever you want. It just doesn't work out for you. And normally it doesn't happen a lot for good teams. You won't see Barcelona... crap out against Santander, for instance. They play Racing Santander on Saturday. I don't expect Barcelona at home to have that type of game. You never know. And they say that's why you play the game, right? So
just because you never know, even when you think you know.
You never know. And Canada will not be overconfident, I don't believe. They shouldn't be.
We'll talk to Josh Simpson later in the show. Our other guest later in the show today is a young Canadian by the name of Sean Seiko, who has had an outstanding season for FC Edmonton this year. A bunch of goals and a bunch of assists. And I was doing a little bit of homework, inspired by one of our emails last week, which actually told us, in no uncertain terms, that there would be no playoffs for Toronto FC or Vancouver, or for that matter, the Montreal Impact. But FC Edmonton were the one team to actually make the playoffs in year one. So I did a little bit of digging, and we'll go into this a little bit later on. But they were the one team that did make the playoffs in 2011. And the one thing that interested me when I actually did a bit of digging was that, and maybe it's economic reasons, it may have a lot to do with that, but Sean Seiko has a Dutch passport, he told me earlier today, and he spent some time in England with Middlesbrough. But eight of the team that played 20-plus games, and that's a reasonable amount for the season, on the FC Edmonton roster this year, in year one in the NASL, were Canadian players. Now, you compare that to Toronto FC, where not one Canadian has played more than 20 games, or Vancouver, where not one Canadian has played more than 20 games, unless you count Alain Rochat, who is a Swiss and Canadian dual national. And in Montreal, only Simon Gaddy has played more than 20 games. And the Impact, in their final season before joining MLS, didn't make the playoffs. So I'm looking forward to talking to Sean a little bit later on, and hearing about FC Edmonton's qualified success story this year.
Well, it's a great fact. It's a great stat. Edmonton should be congratulated. They had some quality games this year, and Sean Seiko scored quite a few goals, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
I think it's great. I think it's wonderful that Edmonton has a platform to develop Canadian players. I wish that Vancouver specifically would be a little bit more pro-Canadian. They seem to have gotten off to a pro-American start in that city, and they were the ones that had this academy in Vancouver for years, before they came into the MLS, and it's strange even now towards the end of the season when they're out of the playoffs. Oof. Why wouldn't they try and put in some Canadian talent on the field and give them a chance? I don't know. I don't even know if that's part of their strategy. But it didn't help them this year not having Canadian players. As a matter of fact, you know, Dunfield, they let him go for some reason. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one day I'll ask Bobby, you know, why they're not a little bit more bullish on Canadian talent.
To be fair, you've asked him on this show before, and Bob has always played the diplomatic route as far as that is concerned. But we always come back to the same equation here. Whether or not you are a team to win games and win championships, or whether you're a team to breed local talent, Canadian talent in this case, and if that Canadian talent is good enough, whether it goes on to represent Canada at youth levels or senior level, or whether you can, you know, hit the jackpot and do a mixture of both. You can actually win games, win championships, and breed some good young Canadian players at the same time.
Well, I would argue that if you look at TFC over their five-year history, that some of their better players have been Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if they've gone wrong, it's they haven't anchored the Canadians with good foreign talent. I don't think there's been anything wrong with the guys that played for TFC that were Canadian, starting with Jimmy Brennan and Dwayne DeRosario and De Guzman. And this year, I would say that in the last game that I saw against the Red Bull, the two best players were Stinson and Morgan. And both of those boys are Canadian. So if they can do it, why can't others?
Well, that's an interesting point. And we're going to get Ashton Morgan, who is with the Canada squad for the first time in St. Lucia. And hopefully Matt Stinson, we're going to get them in on this show in the next few weeks. But it's an interesting point because, yes, of course, De Guzman is around and he's had his fair share of critics, good and bad, over the years. De Rosario, of course, was let go for all sorts of strange reasons. We don't need to revisit that again. But if you're going to say in any way, that Toronto FC's season has something to show for it, CONCACAF Champions League aside, because there's one more game to play and it could still happen, you would have to say that Vinter has at least given the young Canadians, Morgan, Stinson, Henry, a chance to prove that they're good enough to play in MLS this year.
Well, he has. And I think that they've done a very admirable job when they've played. Those players have shown well, and today those are the players that, in my opinion, Aaron Vinter has more belief in than a lot of the other players who come from different areas, different backgrounds, different soccer histories, and yet I would say that the young Canadian boys who have played for Aaron Vinter this year have done a very, very good job.
And yet we get to the end of the season, or not even the end of the season. There's still 3 weeks left of the MLS season to go. And up until last weekend, a couple more have been added now. But up until last weekend, three teams out of the 18 had been eliminated from the playoffs. One was New England and the other two were the Canadian franchises. And the stats don't lie. It's another disappointing season for Canadian soccer at this level.
You know, I think a lot about this in terms of why is it that this team for 5 years can't perform? And honestly, when I played, I was afraid not to do well. And the teams that I played with, they had very high standards in terms of, you know, no excuses. And if you lost, you know, you went and hide. You went to hide because, you know, I'd be embarrassed to show my face or I'd have to prove myself the next game. You know, every year we hear an excuse from TFC. You know, I mean, they got a 5-year plan. This year they've got a new coach. There's always an excuse. They've got to set high goals and they've got to stick with them. And then those people that lead the team have to be accountable.
Email the show with your thoughts. Nigel@fan590.com. Nigel@fan590.com. So here is how it is. Either you interact with the show, which you can either do by Twitter or email, or you just sit here and watch two old men bickering with each other week after week after week, but only for the last 5 years, so I think maybe we're doing something right. I'm not quite sure.
I hope so.
I hope so too. 5 years and 4 weeks to be precise. Here's the email address, nigel@fan590.com. nigel@fan590.com. They made it so easy that even I can remember it. Or you can tweet me, simple as that. @Nigel_Reed. @Nigel_Reed. If you want to see some action some meaningful action this weekend. The CSL playoffs are about to kick off. So now we're into knockout soccer. And you know what? Knockout soccer is very different from the what they call the bread and butter of a league game week in and week out. Suddenly it's kind of, well, you better step up or you're going home.
This is the playoff format here.
Yeah, I mean, how does it actually change for a player? You know, you play, you know, early season, mid-season. You're kind of hurting by the end of the season, I guess, because nobody's ever 100% fit. That's what they always used to tell me. You kind of go through the mill, through the season, and then you've done the body of work. You might have played 25, 28 games, 30 games, and then you get to the postseason, and then you've got to raise your level one more time. Is that tough to do? I mean, we as fans, we just expect and accept that players will do it. But it might actually be tougher than it looks.
Well, to be quite honest, in North America, we have it all ass backwards. Because playoffs are the most important thing here. And really, you should be honoring, for the CSL, for instance, SC Toronto, coached by our friend Carmen Asako.
Yes, indeed.
They won the league.
A frequent visitor to the soccer show.
They won the league. I mean, and if you win the league over 35, I mean, how many games they play, 40 games, I think that's the greatest team achievement of the whole season. The fact that then you have to play in a playoffs afterwards and you could lose, in the first round, for instance, even the Galaxy here.
Could happen.
You know, they were the top team when last year and they went out very quickly.
Did they ever?
And, you know, I mean, I think that here in North America, we just don't give enough, importance to the team that wins a long season. You know, in baseball, you play 162 games. Surely the team that wins the most over 162 should be the best team. But no, then they got to go into playoffs, you know, you don't reward that team that wins 100 games.
It's a very interesting argument, and it's a debate that will go on till the end of time, because here's one thing that ain't going to change. The playoffs ain't going away anytime soon. And so the CSL playoffs get underway this weekend, Friday at the Hershey Centre, very quickly through Mississauga Eagles against Toronto Croatia. Saturday in Montreal, it's the Impact Academy against Capital City FC, who I believe are the new Ottawa franchise. A couple of games on Sunday for you. Victoria Park, it's Brampton City United against the Serbian White Eagles. And also on Sunday at Maple, 4 p.m, the York Region Shooters against SC Toronto,
season. I think that's a derby.
You think so?
I think so.
It sounds like it might be. We must get Carmen back on the show very soon.
Yeah.
But before we do that, we've got our first guest of this week on the show. Delighted to welcome Sean Seiko to the show. As we mentioned earlier in the show, he's had an outstanding season with FC Edmonton, who have just made the playoffs in season one in the NASL. And Sean's got an interesting story to tell and has had a very, very good season. Delighted to know he's on the line from Edmonton. Hi, Sean. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
FC Edmonton, year one in the NASL, made the playoffs, which is more than TFC did, more than Vancouver Whitecaps did, and in your league, more than the Montreal Impact did. So, firstly, from Bob and me, big congratulations. That's quite an achievement in itself, even though it's a league of eight teams and six teams make the playoffs, but you didn't finish eighth.
Yeah, I mean, we finished in a good spot. I mean, like you said, Montreal didn't make the playoffs. It was tougher than it looked to make the playoffs, even though only six out of the eight teams went. But we were delighted to get that final spot, and it was a successful season.
I think a lot of Canadian soccer fans saw FC Edmonton really probably for the first time when you played Toronto FC in the Canadian Championship early in the year. And that first game at Commonwealth, in all honesty, I'm sure you'd agree with us, TFC were pretty much the better side then. You made a better fist of it at BMO Field in the second leg, but clearly you found a level this year, not you personally, but the team, and good enough to be at least competitive in year one.
Yeah, that was the biggest thing at the beginning of the year. Nobody really knew kind of what to expect in the season, and before we even got a game under, we played three games in the NASL, and then we had to play an MLS team in Toronto. And I mean, it was a good test for everyone. Everyone was excited, but also not really, like I said, not really expecting big things. But we did all right.
Now, tell us a little bit about yourself before we go any further. And Bob's going to have a chat with you in a second. I think I'm right in saying you're just 21 years of age. You're an attacking midfielder. We were talking earlier in the day. You have European passport because you have Dutch heritage, so that might be a key factor for you in your career as it moves on. But you are an Edmontonian. You're a local boy, right?
Yeah, I've born and raised here. I was played that from 10 till 14 or 15 in just local club soccer. Mm-hmm. And then obviously made my way over to England, and I was there for 4 years and kind of learned my trade there. And then obviously when FC Edmonton came about, I got the opportunity to talk with the owner, and he was pleased to have me. So now I'm here.
You were with Middlesbrough in the English Championship, as you say, for 4 years. How did that improve you as a player and as a young professional? Can you kind of encapsulate that in a couple of sentences?
Yeah, it was just, I mean, you learn stuff as a player and as a human being. I mean, I went over there when I was 16 by myself with kind of no real ground, and you have to grow up fast. So it made me mature fast. And also, like you said, I was there for 4 years. So you learn a lot of things trying to be a professional when you're a young kid. And it was a great experience, and hopefully I can get back over there one day.
Hey, Sean, the composition of your team is made up of a lot of Canadian young men like yourself. Are these guys also like you from the Edmonton area? And did you grow up with a lot of these players playing youth soccer?
A lot of them were a little bit older than me. I mean, they're around 24, 25, 26. And so I didn't really get the chance to play against them because I went over so early. So they were all playing Major League Soccer, like local, the men's league here, while I was still playing youth. So I didn't really get the chance to play against them. But, I mean, it's just a great way for the Edmontonians and all the guys from Calgary, just a chance to kind of show people what they got. And I think that was the thing this year. Everyone kind of wanted to prove a point to people, and just maybe some people didn't have the opportunity to go overseas with a passport or whatever the reason was. So it was just them trying to prove people wrong, saying that they could play. They just didn't have the opportunities to. And it was fun.
And it's funny you say that, because I've got a lot of friends who claim that Canada just doesn't have the talent, and that Stephen Hart has a tough time picking his team because there just aren't enough quality players. And here you are amongst a whole bunch of Edmontonian youth, you know, guys. I mean, maybe a little older than you, but still from Edmonton, and they all grew up in that area. And you guys put a team together and you know, fared very well. I mean, made the playoffs and probably gelled as a team because, you know, you probably like to play with each other.
Yeah, and that's kind of the sad thing. I mean, everyone says there's not enough talent, but maybe sometimes it's there's a lot of talent, but they're just trying to look for too many players that want to play at a different level. So, I mean, we play in the NASL, which is still a good standard. We got players, but just because of who they are and not really known, they're not really going to get a chance. So, like I said, it was a good chance for the guys that know they can play at this level. There was just an opportunity for them to showcase what they got. And now, I mean, all the doors are open for the guys. So yeah, it was good.
It's good stuff. Sean, just tell us a little bit about the feeling and the feedback that you've had in Edmonton this year, because I know the team came together in 2010 as a sort of an exhibition team in the lead up to NASL. Of course, there have been professional teams for many years in Edmonton. I guess you'd think back to the Drillers and so on and so forth. As the Edmonton sort of public, I've been looking at the kind of average attendances that you're getting. Have they warmed to the new franchise there? Do you feel that you're on the map in Edmonton?
I do, yeah. I mean, cities want winners. And if you get a team that's putting out products on the field that are getting wins and getting good results, I mean, everyone wants to see that. So it was obviously at the beginning of the season, there wasn't many people coming to watch the games. Mm-hmm. But once they found out that we could play at this level, we could win games, and we could go on the road and win games, and they knew that we were a legit side, I mean, they came out later on in the season, and it was a credit to them. I mean, obviously in the past that Edmonton's had some teams that haven't really stuck around, so all credit to them. At the beginning, they may be a little bit hesitant, but it was a credit to us as well to show them that we can play, and that's what we did at the end of the season.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I was out in Edmonton in 2007 covering the U20 World Cup, and there were plenty of people at Commonwealth for the games that we... I mean, there's clearly an appetite for soccer if it's played at a decent level. That's the feeling I got when I was there for a week or so.
Yeah, for sure. You just nailed it. It's all about the level, I think. I mean, there's so many people. I mean, even in the Women's World Cup, it was I can't remember what year it was, but
2002, I think, yeah.
Yeah, they were selling out Commonwealth, and that's a 60,000-seat stadium. So, I mean, there's people in the city that love soccer because they've proved it before. So I think it's just going to take a little bit of time to get the FC Edmonton name up. But I'm sure once we get our own stadium, it'll help as well. Because right now we play on a field with football lines. And,
yeah.
And
Sean, have you had any conversation with the national program at all yourself? Have you spoken with Stephen Hart?
No, I haven't actually. I'm waiting for a call, but I haven't got one yet.
You want me to ask him if he can give you a call? I can do that. I can call Stephen and ask him.
You know what? I would love that, but. This season, I wasn't really worried about that. I was just letting my play do the talking, and then I just had fun.
Well, I mean, that's all you can do, right? I mean, you're 21 years of age. You've got your whole career ahead of you. You've obviously made an impact this season, and I would be surprised, and I wrote about it earlier this week, I would be surprised if some of the Canadian MLS franchises, given your nationality, were not sitting up and taking notice and thinking, let's have a look at this kid and see what he can do.
For sure. I mean, at the beginning of the season, I wasn't stupid. I know there's going to be Montreal's going into the MLS next year, and yeah. I knew. And I was I just wanted to hit the ground running, really, at the beginning of the season and try and obviously my first priority was to make FC Edmonton as best as possible because, like I said, we got a great owner, and we need to pay him back for what he's done for us in the last year and a half, 2 years. So obviously that was my first priority. But like I said, I'm not naive, and I know that there's going to be opportunities if you play well, and that's what I try to do.
Well, we hoped, we hope that we can help a little bit, and we hope that next season, if you're still in Edmonton or wherever you happen to be, you'll rejoin us once you're a big star on the big stage, and we can invite you back again. But Sean, pleasure to talk to you, and thanks so much for taking the time.
All right, thanks a lot, guys, for having me. It was awesome.
That's Sean Seiko. What a nice young man and a good attitude. And he's got his head screwed on. He knows that if he keeps playing well, the doorbell will ring.
Well, it should. And if Edmonton continues to get these type of players, these local players, then maybe some of these other general managers in cities that are supposed to develop players can do the same.
Josh Simpson is one of those players who developed out in Burnaby, BC. He's now playing his club soccer in Turkey, but he's right now in St. Lucia. And that's where we're going next on The Soccer Show.
Make your friends weep with envy. Win wicked prizes inside the fan club. Join today at fan590.com.
Next Tuesday, Canada is back and will be playing at BMO Field in Toronto against Puerto Rico, I think.
Puerto Rico
it is. Yeah, and that'll be game four. And by the time they get to next Tuesday, they will have won their opening three games in World Cup qualifying. That's because tomorrow night, Friday, they're going to beat St. Lucia for the second time. Well, at least that's my theory anyway, and I'm sticking to it. You can't wave me from that. And part of the reason they may well win for the second time over St. Lucia is Josh Simpson, who scored a brace, a couple, two, a deuce, when they played each other last month in Toronto. And we're delighted to say, hopefully, fingers and toes crossed on the end of a cell phone live from Beau Séjour in St. Lucia is Canada's midfielder, Josh Simpson. Welcome to the Soccer Show.
Thank you very much, sir. Glad to be here.
I bet you're glad to be there. I was trying to describe.
I wish I was there.
Yeah, I was trying to describe to Bobby earlier in the show that this stadium you're playing at is actually a cricket stadium. It was used at the Cricket World Cup, and it's a beautiful little bowl in and amongst the volcanic rocks. And it's and one day I'm going to go and watch cricket there. But I wish I was there watching you play soccer tomorrow. What's the feeling in the camp?
Yeah, I mean, feeling's really good. The stadium, I guess that's a good place to start. It's not a football stadium at all. It's if you've seen a cricket stadium, it's massive. You could probably fit about three football pitches in there. But the important thing is the grass is nice. You know, it should be a decent surface. Feeling in the camp is good. You know, I think. We're ready to play, finally. It's a little bit warm over here, as you can imagine. It's probably in the 30s or so. But when the sun goes down, which it should be tomorrow night, then, it cools off quickly. But we're feeling good. Team's looking good. And most of all, we just want to get out there and play.
So you've been there, what, 36 hours or so? You've had a chance to train on the field itself. As you said, the surface isn't bad, which obviously is just the way you like it. So everybody happy, everybody fit and raring to go. And obviously everybody expecting here that you're going to win this game. So, you know, expectation. But then that comes with the territory, Josh.
Yeah, absolutely right. I mean, we're sort of the biggest side of the group, and so the expectation is that we clean up here, and that's always difficult to go in. Everybody expecting you to just clean up, because when you get down here and you see the conditions, I mean, it's not exactly that easy. It's not as straightforward as it may sound. I mean, it's. It's a lot different down here than what we're used to. The conditions and that, the food, the accommodations and all that is not exactly what I'd say we're used to. So it's gonna be difficult. I don't like to ever just say we're gonna go out there and absolutely smash them. Although that's what I think we're gonna do, but it's hard to say that. You know, you don't want to get yourself too overconfident.
That's what we like to hear on the show. We like to hear confidence, don't we, Bobby?
Well, we sure do, Josh. And I really enjoy watching you play.
Yeah.
And I know that you occupy a wing position a lot of the times, Josh. And yet, you're very good on the ball. You're tight on it. You move quickly with it. And you're kind of a slasher. I like to see you it's only my opinion, but I'd like to see you because it's so hard to penetrate sometimes. And Canada has rarely had, you know, the type of strikers I think that you have with yourself and D-Row and Simeon Jackson. That's a pretty good triad up there. And of course, Ian Hume. But I'm just wondering, do you have a comfort zone moving inside, knowing that perhaps if you had a fullback that comes up like Mike Kuklowski used to do, and perhaps in the future even Ashton Morgan might be able to do that, he can occupy that outside position and give you a little bit more room to come inside, because I think you can do some damage. Do I make sense at all?
Yeah. Do you mean starting out on the outside and then sort of making
kind of poaching a little bit? Yeah, just looking for that space inside, knowing that you're covered on the outside, because I know that you need that outside responsibility in terms of keeping the game wide. But then you need the players that are able to do the business once you start to come in and looking for the 1-2s or looking for those openings.
I understand now what you mean. Absolutely. That's a really important role of mine in my club team at the moment in Turkey. And actually, you mentioned Mike Kuklowski. He's we're playing together over there.
So yes, I know.
We've actually, I've got a fairly big attacking responsibility in my club team. And that's exactly what my coach is always trying to get after me, is just a lot more of that, taking the ball and taking the responsibility to really bring the ball between the midfield and the forward lines to actually make the chances happen. Whether that's Mike and I playing the ball down the line and getting the ball in, or, a lot of times it's actually me just taking the ball myself and bringing it to the top of the box, either getting a shot or trying to set somebody else up.
And do me a favor. Where is Manisaspor in Turkey? Is it in the? Is it
Manisa
close?
Manisa is just outside of Izmir, about 15 minutes drive from Izmir, on the west southwest coast of Turkey.
Sounds like.
Well,
it's
are you
beautiful.
Getting to know the language there, Josh?
A little bit. You know, it's a very difficult language, but. You have to pick it up, you know. I mean, you have to pick up something. Of course, our club's provided us with a couple of translators, so we don't, we're not stressed over there, but it's much nicer when you can communicate with people.
Try and make our listeners understand just how passionate the Turkish fans are.
Oh, that's difficult, but it's...
They're nuts. That's what they are. They're nuts.
I've played football in England. Yeah. I've played football in Germany.
Yeah.
And I've never seen passion like this for football.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are coming out from everywhere, from every corner to see these games. And the amount of the atmosphere coming into these stadiums is it's almost frightening. You know, there's the real the flares and that in every corner. The nonstop singing and cheering and that. I mean, it's not a dangerous environment like people might think, but it's definitely something that gets your pulse up.
Well, yeah, if that doesn't, you're in the wrong sport for sure. We're going to let you go very soon, Josh, before the cell phone battery dies. But one of the things I've thought about this round two of qualifying, where Canada is the giant against these smaller island nations, is, yes, you're expected to come through. But I do think, and I'm interested in your thoughts, I do think that Canada getting on a winning roll and playing together with these guys every month or so, you get back together, that must do something for the psyche, for the team, for the gelling, and just, for goodness sake, just to win a few games. That must help looking ahead further
Absolutely.
Down the road.
Yeah, that's the first thing that I said when I heard that we would be playing in this preliminary round, is exactly what you've just described. And that's really priceless for us, because we've had a hard time getting enough games for, I mean, gelling as a team has been really difficult for us, because if we're playing four camps a year, and you might have an injury for one of those camps, and then you're playing as a team maybe two or three or sometimes no times in 12 months because of injuries or because of what have you, it's been really difficult. But this has been, from the Gold Cup, which was not our best performance, into these games where, you know, like you said, we're sort of the biggest team in this little preliminary round. It's been absolutely fantastic for us to just come in, play a lot together, see each other a lot, and get to know each other.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
You know, that's very valuable for future rounds next summer.
Josh, we thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us tonight on the eve of a big game. We wish you every success and look forward to a successful return and to seeing you in Toronto, hopefully next week.
Yes, sounds good. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. That's Josh Simpson from the Canadian team live in St. Lucia. He sounds like he's pumped up for the job.
Well, he sounds like
he
sounds like someone who's proud to play for
Canada.
Does
he ever?
Thanks very much.
Yes.
And I hope some of those knuckleheads around the world are listening to this show.
Oh, I'm sure they
you
are.
You know the ones I'm referring to.
Yes, I do.
The knucklehead in Holland and the knucklehead in England. And the one in Bosnia who changed.
Oh, them.
Those guys, yeah.
Yeah.
One, two, and three.
Well.
It's nice to hear, you know, it's nice to hear Josh Simpson with that type of passion about playing for Canada. And, you know, when you have more Josh Simpsons on the team, then guess what? You're going to win some games.
It's interesting, the point that I made and he agreed with, which actually leads me to think that maybe I do know something about this game, even though I've never played it at a high level. But I have said this to you consistently on this show, that these six preliminary games, yes, okay, they're not exactly gimmies, but they are all, we would expect, winnable games. But actually getting together last month, this month, next month, playing those six games, finding your rhythm as a team, knowing what the coach expects from you as an individual and as a team, it's got to pay dividends. I think it's got to pay dividends when it gets into the next round of qualifying. I can't see any way it doesn't.
They have to play games. They have to be together.
They've got to play games.
You know, it doesn't matter when they come together, but they need this consistency in terms of, playing on a regular basis.
One of the things we're working on for probably next week on the show is an announcement the Canadian Soccer Association made this week, which certainly caught my eye. Basically, what they are proposing is they're commissioning what I might term as a feasibility study into a Division II Pro League in Canada. It's going to be led by former Canadian international Jim Easton. And we're going to get him on the show either next week or in the next couple of weeks to talk about this feasibility study and whether it would hold water and what sort of a league, a Division II Pro League would be. I mean, we all know, I think, that FIFA has been leaning on the CSA for some time to get a professional league up and running, because FIFA events have been held here, the 07 U20 World Cup and, of course, the Women's World Cup in 2015. But part of the provision, as it was for USA 94, was you've got to have a professional league. So we're going to get Jim Easton on the show in the next week or so and talk about this feasibility study into a pro league, which, of course, you've been banging on about for 5 years.
For 5 years, I've been making this statement. You don't develop players unless you play them at the highest level possible. and at a regular high-level competition. And you know what? You can't rely on the three clubs to do it all. We need other soccer centers to be available for players that develop. But, I mean, look at Edmonton.
Well, great example. That is a great example, but that's just one example. And it's a very big country.
Yes.
And because it's a very big country, that is always going to be an issue, the geography. And whether it's regional or national, and if it's national, how do you pay for it? How do you finance it? What's the business model?
Well, there's a lot of solutions. All you need are
And there's a lot of questions too.
Well, okay, Nigel.
Well, no. Come on.
Well, come on,
in
what?
20 seconds.
The music's already on. What do you want me to say?
I want you to say something in about 20 seconds.
I think that the Canadian Soccer Association, needs to support, high developed soccer teams like the ones that are playing right now. The CSL is also an example. And, they should support this league as well.
Your 20 seconds is up. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nigel.
We'll develop this
I appreciate
theme.
The time, by the way.
You're very welcome. We'll develop this theme in weeks to come. I want to say thanks to Sean Sako, to Josh Simpson, to the professionals the other side of the glass, who are Dan, Igor, and Jennifer. He's Bobby Arushi. I'm Nigel Reed. Have a great sporting weekend.